Alrighty, and we are live. Oh no, that's playing double. Technical difficulties once again.
That one might be my fault. Fix now, though.
No, that was definitely mine. I had the YouTube because like you have to check the comments because it blocks some of the comments, and I don't like that censorship. So I got to jump back and forth and unblock comments. It's a pain. But yeah, I had the sound on. Anyways, this is John Fitch Knows Nothing. I know nothing. I have a special guest, Ryan Stone, on the show. I've been following Ryan for quite some time on the Twitterverse and YouTube.
You poor thing.
He's a relationship coach. And of course, you know, I've been going through my divorce process over the last couple of years. And guys like him have kind of helped me out a little bit, get my bearings straightened out and figure out what's really going on with these relationships. And we'll get into that. I'm going to play a little lead to get us warmed up while some people have time to get onto the stream. Keep it classy.
I was going to say... I don't think I've ever heard Fear Elise on a ukulele before. That is awesome.
Yeah. Class it up. Keep it fancy. We like to do things intellectually here.
Big brain.
Big brain. But yeah, so Ryan, for guys who don't know, give us a little bit of a background, how you came to be.
Well, small farm boy from Canada. I was raised in the prairies and then on a farm in British Columbia. After that was kind of what a lot of people in this space call lost boys, where you don't really have direction given to you by your parents. So I, after going to college, being a graphic designer for a few years, I ended up joining the military. Mm-hmm. Did a 12-year career there. Saw about What's that?
That's quite a 12 years is a big chunk of your life.
Oh yeah, it's still 2 years more than I've committed to my wife right now. So it's got to say something about that.
Oh, yeah.
And then afterwards, most guys are in my space. It's the red pill space. If you guys haven't heard of it, it's you hit some kind of trauma. In my case, it was kind of learning that Queen and Country wasn't so much like a life script. Some bad things happened. I ended up finding Rollo Tomasi, getting out of it. Working corporate, did that for a few years, made some great money, realized it also wasn't very fulfilling. And so now I'm here doing this space. Mm-hmm. It turns out one of the things I was really good at is relationships, go figure. I was just some farm boy who learned pickup because it was impossible to date when you had a sailing schedule.
Oh, that's a good point. you've only got this much leave. You got to figure out how to.
Oh yeah. Like, have you ever been on a date and you're like, oh, this went wonderfully. You know what? In 3 weeks, we should see each other again. Like, you never hear back.
Yeah. That's not a usually accepted pace on dating for most women.
Yeah. And it was just one of those things that worked well.
Me as a single dad now, though, it's almost like that.
I've heard a lot of guys have that problem.
Like, you know, because I try to spend as much time with my kids as possible. So, you know, it's 50-50, you know, I hate using the term, but it's like ownership of your kids. But I put in a lot of extra time, too. I pick them up from school so they don't have to go to daycare. So I'm putting in a lot of extra time with them. But that means less time to date. I have to be like, oh, yeah, this is a fun.
You got to be efficient.
Yeah, this was fun. Like, I either got to take you out on a work night or you got to wait 2 weeks until I can take you out again.
Oh, dude, that stuff's awesome. That's exactly the same reason I got into it. I know it sounded goofy with guys with top hats and that, but it's like anything. Like, if you had nothing but time, it'd be great to do all this nice slow stuff and conversation. But like, dude, we got things to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then understanding the relationship dynamics, the actual sexual market that is real instead of the fantasy one you're sold. Because I grew up, my favorite movie when I was a little kid was Princess Bride. And I lived my whole life you know, oh, I'm going to find the one. And then, and then you end up getting into these relationships and you kind of form this person into the version of the one, and you put your blinders on to all the shit that isn't what you want. And then it turns around and bites you in the ass later.
Oh yeah. The ego. I think that's the worst part. It's not even so much that we can't understand women, because we could. It's just we blind ourselves because we want to believe a certain thing.
We want to. It's this fairy tale is nice. It's a powerful fairy tale. Because mm-hmm. I'm going through my old journals. Like I wrote a book, Failing Upward, Death by Ego, and it's like I'm sharing my journals with people, and I'm writing, you know, a kind of summary of my interpretation of it. I've got a bunch. I've got 17 years of these journals, so I'm reading through them. It's kind of hard. Like I didn't get much written this year because it's kind of hard to go through and read your old thoughts and shit.
Oh, I know. Like, I hate that.
it's crazy. How much you could hate yourself. Like, but no, it's like you're saying all these. I'm saying all these things that are heavily red pilled. You know, in the early 2000 and whatever 2003, 2004 and. I kind of understand it, but I want to believe the lie so badly that like I'm just ignoring things and, oh no, she's different. This is different. And you realize that it was just a fucking fairy tale. It's not real.
Yeah. That's the problem is that it's so comfortable, and until you're tested, it's so much easier to believe it. But then that's the problem is, I mean, I don't know the details of how your divorce started, but it usually ends up, you'll get a reality check when you're handed divorce papers. Karen takes the kids. I'm sure you've heard of that meme, haven't you?
Yeah.
But oh, here's the hilarious thing. So you're talking about reading back your cringy things. I've had a few hundred guys over the years that we've kind of done this. We kind of get them to get in the habit of journaling their journey. Yep. Because when you write things down, you can't lie to yourself because you actually have to write down details.
Yep. It's the highest level of accountability.
And when you said there that you were cringing looking at your old stuff, I think that's almost... If guys don't look back at the stuff they wrote a year ago and look at it cringing, then they haven't made any progress. So it's kind of part of the process. So that's awesome.
Yeah. I wrote a blog entry on my website. And, I talk about that. I talk about how beneficial journaling was because you can't lie to yourself.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I mean, you can try, but like, you know, when you're putting the pen to the paper, like whether or not you did that workout, whether or not you did the thing you said you were going to go do or not. Like, and I think that's, I got away from journaling when things started to go sour a little bit in my life, because I think I didn't want to write it down.
that's really too bad. Like I made sure to do that. And I actually have to go back and look at it. Cause like you said, you're still getting divorced, right? So eventually it's going to be over. And a couple of years from now, you're going to completely forget about how bad it was. I use the story of my deployment. When I deployed, we went, circumnavigated the earth, Strait of Hormuz, did some pirate hunting in Somalia, really cool stuff. But I hated the trip. A lot of our bosses called it the worst trip ever. The workload was ridiculous. There was a lot of infighting among the command teams. Mm-hmm. Chances we could have had to done some good work and we didn't. Mm-hmm. We accidentally almost got a cruise ship killed, but that's another story. So I wrote down all this stuff. And then when I got home, everybody was complaining. It's like, man, that's going to suck. I'm like, give it 6 months. And sure enough, 6 months from then, all everybody is talking about is the week we spent in Dubai and all the great times. And I'm like, yeah, thank God I wrote it down, or I'd have completely forgotten how bad it was and I'd want to do another one.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. If you don't write this stuff down, you get into that position a lot of guys get into where as soon as you put a little bit of distance into it, they go straight back to the illusion because they forgot. Brain's just wired that way to forget all the bad things. Like you probably, correct me if I'm wrong, but through your career, you don't remember all the times you got knocked out. You remember the times where you got awesome victories, because those are the good memories, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I'm a hypercritical of myself. So like I have a hard time watching anything back or looking at anything back and not getting cringe feelings. Like I just have high expectations of myself and my output, and then I don't achieve things. Like it does stick with me for a while. It takes me a while to get over. Yeah, so a lot of guys go through a traumedy. See, it's kind of it's fucking painful but hilarious at the same time. But that's what I call it. We've run into traumedies, and
dude, I like that.
Start looking for answers. I stumbled upon the game, that book, and then like I missed out a huge section of the internet because I was busy with my relationship. I was busy with fighting. I was busy playing video games. So like, I wasn't even on Instant Messenger. I didn't do any of that stuff.
Oh, you missed out on the ASL Instant Messenger pickup.
I never did any of that. Like, I didn't really talk in the, like, it just wasn't my thing. And then, even now I'm just using, you know, my phone and the apps in the phone to use a lot of that stuff. So like, I'm just starting to force myself to sit in front of the computer and use a computer again. But a lot of guys get stuck in this mentality that the Disney story is real, that, you know, some girls are different, that, you know, I know this one girl who's like that. So not everybody's the same. Like I don't know how you deal with this, but I've gotten to the point where I just don't engage anybody unless they're actively looking for answers these days.
Yeah, honestly, that happens all the time. Anytime you mention anything that's unflattering generally about women, it obviously doesn't apply to everybody, but it applies to enough people that you need to worry about it.
Even if it's 60% of the time, that's still a significant number of times.
Yeah. Yeah. So then there's always going to be some girl coming in there saying, well, I'm not like that. And then for the longest time, I was like you. I'd engage it and explain it, and it wasn't working until I realized all they're doing is they're letting the world know that they're still a good person. So you just give her that, and she tends to, and they just stop. Like, it was the first time I realized, I was like, yeah, do you think of yourself as the average woman, or do you think you're somebody special? And that shuts it right down. Mm-hmm. 'Cause then the girl either has to admit, well, I'm just like an average girl, which no girl wants to do. They always want to be special.
Yes. They have an ego too.
Yeah, of course they do. See, appeal to the ego, and then they're quiet about it. And if you mention, and as long as they don't think they apply to it, girls will agree with 90% of the worst stuff you can say about women. As long as it's true, obviously. I mean, you can't just be a guy inventing it in his basement.
You got to give it an out. Like, I'm always getting asked, man, I'm getting asked by people all the time, where'd you hear that from? Where'd you get that from? And then you give them like a piece of information or a study or whatever. And like, oh, you can't trust them. you can't trust that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you can't. We're talking about gun violence or something like that. And the CDC says that, you know, we're on a 20-year downtrend on gun violence. And my friend couldn't stop repeating, but all the school shootings. But all the school shootings. I was like, yes, downtrend still.
Dude, oh, I know. People are horrible with risk, though. That's the thing. Like, as soon as you see something, you think that's more common. But that's the problem with the news, because if it was common, it wouldn't be news. Mm-hmm. It's like cancer. There's never news stories about cancer, but everybody knows like 5 people in their life who've died from cancer. Mm. Almost nobody directly knows a school shooting victim, but they're plastered all over the media, so you assume it's everywhere.
That's true.
And that's the same thing with like human frailty. Like, when you think about relationships, you don't think about your 5 parents' friends who got divorced. You think about the one guy who lasted 30 years preaching to all you guys, or the girls that are like 35 now and got the baby rabies talking about how good women are and how you'll love it.
So that's one of the things now is telling, you know, like, just have a rational conversation about relationships with somebody. Like,
we're past postmodern conversation.
Like, we're 50-55% divorce rate, like 70-80% are initiated by the female. And how many relationships don't even get to the marriage point? Like,
dude, it's even worse than that. Like,
why do people still believe that this is the viable solution? Like, I was out I went to a bar and I met this girl I'm dating. I met one of her friends, and then she went to the bathroom and her friend asked, so, hey, when are you going to make this a real thing? I was like, you're 41, you're running out of time. And I'm like, really? Am I running out of time?
Yeah, you know? No, I'll be fine. She's running out of time is what you mean. Go back and tell her on the after action report. I just said that. That's funny. Running out of time. Just what's going to happen at 42?
Yeah. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be alone forever. And it's the idea of, you know, the old alone guy.
It's like your dick's a fruit tree. And then like the nuts fall off at 42. Well, it's too late.
Yeah. I mean,
that's the thing too. Like, you have a kid.
I have,
you had sons. A wife. You've done everything. Like, at this point, you could do whatever you want with the rest of your life. And you've already done what all the like Disney fantasy stuff says to do, raise a family. I already did that. Then the family left. I got the kid to adulthood without being messed up.
I got at this point, you can a while with the kids though.
Yeah. Well, you know, well, how old are your kids?
They're going to be in February. They'll be 8 and 6.
Oh yeah. That's not bad. So I still got like until 13 until they start hating you. So that's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. Then I'll take off. I'll leave her alone with them.
Oh yeah. I'll do that.
I'm going to Thailand. They're becoming assholes.
Oh, you joke. There's a lot of parents that do that. Like I was talking yesterday about Ontario family law. It's actually so bad here that there's a sunshine list for guys who are in child support arrears. So if you miss two payments, and the problem is about half of them are, but it's not because guys are deadbeats. It's because the system is so slow to adapt to a change of circumstances. Mm. So like case in point, your fighting career, you were probably earning X amount of money. Then when you stop fighting, you earn, I'm assuming at least for a while, it'll be significantly less.
Yes.
Or more if you end up being like GSP with some sponsorships or whatever.
Well, I mean, I'm going to have to make some money and stuff outside of the MMA realm a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm a bit of a black sheep.
I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but right. I'll take it as good. But then here's the thing. So you take the court system. You're like, okay, so my income has changed. I can no longer earn that anymore. But the courts assume that you are. You just haven't been incentivized enough. So if you miss two payments because of that, and obviously if the wife's on good terms with you, she can wave it away, say, no, I don't want to pursue it. But I mean, how many divorces are amicable?
Mm. Yeah, I like to say that I had lube used on me during the divorce rape.
Well, at least they didn't go in dry.
Yeah.
Ouch. Yeah. But yeah, that's the problem. So you miss two payments. They not only talk to employers, garnish your wages, post-tax wages. They also put you on a sunshine list. So anybody can look you up online, like an FBI most wanted list. It's gotten so bad that guys are like absconding to non-extradition countries. They're literally becoming refugees because they're getting thrown in prison. And then while you're in prison, for a lot of guys, the court says, well, because you missed your payments, you decided to abscond from your responsibility. So while you're in prison, you should have somehow earned enough to cover it. So then by coming out of prison, you're just going to go back in prison because you should have owed that much. It's like Magna Carta kind of dealt with debtor's prisons. Mm-hmm. And so it's really scary. Like the fact that you're coming out of it, not in jail, is a good thing.
I'm sure, yes, you have probably for-profit prisons also.
I don't think they're as bad as the states, but
it is bad.
Yeah, it's a strange thing. Somehow. But that's the problem. It's like you get these are your consequences. So A, getting married, like Disney fantasy or not, you got to look that in the face. And then B, well, what can you do about it? And that's the key part. And that's what most people don't address, because I'm sure you see a lot of personalities around here. They love to complain and bring out the stats, but they don't say, okay, well, that's the terrain. What do we do about it?
Yeah, I think that's where we agree on a lot of things from what I can tell, is that a lot of people are sitting around bitch and moan about how shitty the situation is, instead of recognizing the current and then adapting to the current.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, totally. Well, can I use like a UFC analogy again? Yeah. I don't know why. Just like when you're here, do you remember when UFC was like in the single digits and there was no weight classes and that one, I can't remember who the fighter was, but it was a kickboxer versus like this big sumo dude. And he like broke his hand on the sumo's face. He started bludgeoning him with the stump. Obviously you can't do that. So they had to, so like that's the terrain. If you want to get, you know, Vegas and other places to condone it as a sport, you have to kind of tame it down and work around these things. Mm-hmm. Most people just bitch that the UFC is no longer, you know, like kumite, but at the same time, if you wanted UFC to thrive, you had to adapt, and then you ended up with what you have now.
Well, it adapted, and then they bought up the competition and monopolized it. So now it's turned into pro wrestling. It's pro wrestling minus the predetermined outcomes.
Wonder if that makes it better or worse.
It's better for the promoter because they can control ascension to the title. They can control who fights for the title. They can decide who gets to be on TV and who gets promoted, and who gets to fight or who they kick out. But it's really bad for the fighters. The fighters make only about 19% of the event revenues.
Dude, that's ridiculous. And boxing makes way more than that.
Way more. They make 55 to 85% of total revenues, right? They're only making 19% of the event revenues. Like
that explains the Mayweather fight now. Makes so much more sense.
Well, Conor made a smart move. He, he leveraged the Ali Act. We have a federal law here in the U.S. that protects boxers from unscrupulous promoters like Don King. Well, you laugh, but Dana White is more powerful than Don King ever was.
Really?
More crooked. Don King never owned the title. Don King never owned the rank.
Dude, that's crazy.
UFC does. They have everything that Don King had. Plus, they also control the title and the rank. So they don't even have to pay off the sanctioning body to fix the ranking or give somebody a title shot. They can just do whatever. They made up a belt, the BMF belt. They just created a title out of thin air and had had two guys fight for it who had 500 records.
Really?
Yeah.
It's 50-50 and you can go in. I guess tying this back to relationships, so that's the point, right?
Yeah.
Like the whole thing is skewed, but fighters still want to fight for a living, so they got to figure something out. And from relationships, I've just found it's that thing.
Yeah.
I just so happened to get, well, partially lucky, but part of it was just talking with other guys who had varying levels of success with their relationships. Like, I'm 11-year anniversary is coming up here. Once you pass that 10-year mark, it's like a pension. All right, made it that far. So, you know, at least you know what you're doing. But yeah, and then guys would got together and we had this little place on Reddit of all places.
It could be the finish line for some women in California, though, because I think at 10 years, you get grandfathered into lifetime alimony.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so there's that, but that's the thing. There's strategy. So if you're living in California, that's the consequence. So do you need to live in California? Most guys will say yes because of the money, but if you're losing half of it in your divorce, then why don't you move somewhere, earn half as much, stay in a relationship? It makes more sense.
Well, I'm thinking that,
Do you live in California now? I don't want to start just slagging your life.
Oh, I'm here because the kids are here. I got taken when the things had started to go bad and we were in Vegas. And, I'm the dumb, blue pilled guy, like, okay, let's try to fix things and go back to your hometown and everything will be good. She was planning her exit.
Oh yeah. It's another thing, guys.
She already made up her mind 2 years before she said anything.
Yeah, and because you still have that like Disney fantasy ideal, you kind of ignore I'm sure in retrospect, a lot of the signs were obvious that she was going to, but you just never paid attention.
Like the sex was still constant, but it wasn't the same.
Genuine desire, we call that one, yeah.
Yeah, so like we were still having sex 3-4 nights a week, but she was just, you know, punching a clock.
Literally.
She enjoyed it, but yeah. She would say afterwards every time, it's like, oh, yeah. She's like, I'm glad you talked me into it.
Oh, man. You sound so much like a buddy I used to sail with, Matt. He and his wife had that situation. He had a 3-month course in Halifax and then a 6-month sail after that. So he was out of the house for like almost a year there. And there was about a long weekend that he had at home in between the two. And she refused to have sex with him. And then finally she did just before they were on the way to the airport. And she kept asking him, are you done yet? And I was like, right there, as soon as he told that story, I knew that marriage was done. Like you're talking about punching in the clock. She was punching not only punching the clock, but bitching about it the whole time.
I got shit to do.
Yeah. My Pinterest isn't going to flick through itself, you know?
No. So like, I'm huge on family though. So like, I think family and kids, like that's all I ever want to do is have kids. And I have my two sons and I fucking love them to death. I love spending time with them. I love everything I do with them. Mm-hmm. I'd love to have more. I'd love to have 10 kids. I'd love to have 20 kids. I'd love to have a team, right? I'd love to have a fight team.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, you want kids. You don't want a wife. You want kids, right?
Yeah. So that's my thing is like, I have this idea for the future that some guys are going to have to just plan on being single dads. Mm-hmm. And I think it might be smart to create some kind of paternity fund, right? So if you know you want to have kids someday and you're a teenager, when you start college, you should start saving your money anyway, start putting stuff aside.
Yeah.
Maybe you should start putting money aside for children.
Well, there is a thing for that. It's actually one of the relationship strategies. I get the term right because I'm really bad at the lawyering stuff. And we're not sure how good it works yet. It's still in like the phase where guys are looking it over and trying it out, unrevocable trusts. The idea is you're putting money into a trust. The trust is for the kid, but you don't have any ownership of it. It's not your money. It's not your trust anymore. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to a divorce, they aren't considered your assets because you're not. then there's some problems with that. Like, you have to trust who's running it, that they're not going to just abscond with the money. You have to put in, like, maybe when the kid's 18, it's for this, maybe it's for college, that. And then the idea is you're not trying to avoid child support, because it is support for the child. What you're doing is you're avoiding that, giving it to the wife for her to spend as she sees fit. Mm-hmm. Now, whether that's a good solution or not at this point, I don't know. We're still a little early in that, but
it's just the, you gotta have some kind of strategy, because you could think you're doing everything right, and hypergamy doesn't care.
Yep.
And anything could happen where you're all the, you're put into a situation where you're no longer the most valuable male that she can be around.
Well, that's as soon as she gives birth, you're no longer the most valuable male. That's just something. And that's something guys have to accept. It's like, well, there's two things. One, they're not your kids. And I know, like, you're talking about your children. I'm not saying you don't love them on that. I just mean, from a legal standpoint, they're her kids. You're just the dad.
I'd even argue that they're the state's kid.
Yeah, I guess we could go that route for the most part.
Because, like, you'd have to, you know, if you want to leave the city, you're gonna have to get permission from the state that you can leave the city and be away from your kid.
Ah, fair enough. So here it works a little bit differently. Like, you know, if you want to move out of province, you're perfectly able to, but you just have to kind of show the courts that you're. What was the first thing? The first thing was you have to show that you're taking their best interests at heart, which is always what's in the wife's best interest. And then financially, if you run into any hardship, you have to show that the kids, aka the wife and the kids, are living a better quality of life than you are. Like, you actually have to show that. So you're right there in that it's a lot of responsibility, but not a lot of authority given to it, because the wife can obviously pick up and leave on a whim. Mm-hmm. To which we found the best strategy is, okay, so why do divorces happen? Divorces happen because girls want to. So first strategy is obviously, like, lay good pipe, be a good husband, make sure that she doesn't want to leave, but then don't be a good husband in that chore play way that guys assume that if you do more chores, she'll stick around. No, a lot of the times girls
scientific
just want to pry.
Fact, that does not work. I did a podcast talking about that, how men who do more chores at home have less sex and are often more often divorced.
Oh yeah. I caught, well, it's miserable. It's horrible. I laughed. I actually loved your podcast on that one. It's one of the few I've caught. I wish I could catch more. I apologize for that, but.
Well, I have to start, I think, changing something. I think every day may be too much for people to handle. I might focus more on interviews and do less of them.
Mm-hmm. But we'll see. And that's back to that one too. It's great, because if you have a girl that doesn't need you around, because let's face it, after the kid's 5 years old, having a man isn't mandatory. It's nice to have. Mm. She'll never starve. The kids will never go hungry. There's tons of programs. Like, you're in California, you see how much money they throw at raising kids for you.
She's got her tons of family around too.
Yeah. So you aren't essential in the days of our grandfathers where everybody was a sustenance farmer. And if you didn't farm, you died.
Yeah. Women don't need men to survive anymore.
Yeah. But they still want men, because women are terrified of being alone.
Well, I'll change that. So it's not that they don't need me. It's the government has become the man.
Yeah.
So if they need to lean on a man, the government's there to lean on.
And the funny thing is, all those traditional Disney plan guys, they kind of created it. Like, we've made such a prosperous world that we're not needed anymore. We outsourced our own utility.
Yep. That's true. And, that combined with the number of white knights out there,
they just want to get laid and they don't have any game. It's so bad.
They just, if I'm just a nice enough guy, somebody will love me. And that's one of the things I go out now and I just can't help but people watch, and I can see the dynamics. You can see the red pill, blue pill guys. You can see the natural gamers. You can see the guys who have absolutely no fucking clue.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild to, like, have this vision now.
Dude, and it's fun. You're like part of a secret society where it's like you and, because girls know it because they've been dating since they were like 13 years old. So they got nothing but experience.
Yeah.
But then once you see the same things they do, you kind of have this like, I get it. But, and then that's the thing for relationship strategies. For a girl that wants to divorce her husband, it's because she doesn't want him, which also means probably no other girl wants him. Generally speaking, I don't want to like paint a blanket brush here, but if you're the kind of husband that another girl would kill to have,
it's a status type thing. I think.
Yeah, it's a status thing.
That was one of the problems with my relationship is when I got fired from the UFC, when I got released from the UFC, and then you know, I didn't keep my mouth shut. I wasn't a good company boy. I wasn't a good slave. So I sued them, right? So we're in a 5-year long class action antitrust lawsuit.
Man, your UFC career sounds like my military career at the end.
It's like $1.2 billion case. Like, we're waiting on the judge to determine whether or not he's going to grant us class. That should happen this year. So, like, you know, that's going well. But
from her standpoint,
that was terrible because now I'm on the out. I'm on the out of the circle because even my friend group, my in group, the guys, my teammates or whatever, they can't be seen around me or don't want to be associated with me because that makes them look bad because the company's like, why are you still hanging out with him? And then they might think they're going to get less opportunities being around me. So like the social circle changed, my income changed, my status changed. So like, I didn't think anything of that at the time. It makes perfect sense now, but at the time, like, oh, you know, well, no, you get married, it's for life. Like you didn't think, oh, I've got to step up and make the next thing happen.
Oh yeah. Relationship coins. You figure, cause how many years were you married for?
7.5.
So let's say for like the first 6, you think you're throwing relationship coins into the tokens. Like I'll support you through thick and thin. Then the first time that things happen to you that you need some support.
Yeah.
That's when she goes feral.
Oh dude. And it's wild. And it makes no sense. And without understanding how those relationships work, that would have completely crushed me because it makes zero sense to like bust your ass and work hard at something. And like the reward isn't there that you were told was supposed to be there.
Yeah. It's the weirdest. That's the problem with that Disney mental model is you assume relationship is like a bank account that you both put into and then you both take out of when you need it. When in reality for you, it's like once you no longer had the status and the wealth or the other things that she liked, well, then she's just got to look out for her own self-interest, which just so happened to be killing this relationship. So, I mean, you're right. It makes sense from her perspective, but not.
It makes sense from and then when it comes down to like, I break everything down into survival. I think there's two rules. And if you don't understand the first two rules, you understand everything else. The first rule is survival. Everybody's got to survive. Everything in their choices is meant to help them survive. And then two is reproduction, because that's just another form of survival.
Sex and violence. I love it.
Like you have to survive and you have to reproduce and everything. That's the motor to every decision every human's ever made.
Yeah. It's too bad they don't make Disney shows like that. It would have helped a lot of guys when they got old enough to get in a relationship.
Yep. I'm starting to think that Disney was a beta.
I'll buy that. Damn that guy.
Fuck it. Disney.
But that's funny. I saw one of your guys in the chat too. He's talking about common law marriage in New Hampshire. So I know there's a few states that still have it. Mm. Up here in Canada, we have it.
Yeah, common law, I'll put it up there. Chris Loring, common law marriage in New Hampshire after 6 months. It's a 50-50 split when you live together. Oh, damn.
Dude, Canada used to have that. I remember because right around the time that I was going to get common law married, well, the state decided I was common law married. I found out the military had an exemption because a girl could move in, a guy could deploy, and then come back divorced.
Yeah.
And lose all of his stuff. There was like horror stories of that one. So they actually had to get like a year exemption. I think it's 2 years now, but it's just so ridiculous because guys weren't getting married.
I think it used to be in the States 7 years, I thought, living with somebody.
Huh.
But there's got to be a strategy around that too.
I mean, you just have her move out. That's the thing. It's kind of just a risk management.
Well,
thing.
If you own the property and they pay you rent, is it possible to say that they're a tenant?
Oh well, you can.
Then you have like I have a lease and I have payments monthly that show that she was renting the space.
And then all she has to do is make the case that it's a conjugal relationship as opposed to a leasing one. That's the problem, is that she won't play ball with that. But that's, I mean, that's fine too. There's strategies around this. For example,
there's domestic partnership agreements and stuff like that can be made.
Yeah, you can do that. And that's how it works up here. Like if I and my girl were to separate, it's handled in arbitration. We don't need to go through the courts as long as it's amicable. And there's actually, we have it. It's called the Better Beta Divorce Guide, which shows you how to divorce. Then the first rule it says is don't try to be that hardcore alpha male. The courts don't care. The girl wants to think she's completely beaten you down and punishes you. So the sooner you give her that, the more likely you're going to get a favorable income. It's like a tactical retreat. But I mean, financially, I know how a lot of people say once you get married, you're supposed to split your fine or put your finances together. Horrible strategy.
No,
like
they,
you said,
should, yeah, that was my mistake. She browbeat me and shamed me, like, because I still wanted my bills to come in and sign the checks. I like to see the money moving myself. I didn't like automatic pay stuff. So yeah. I, you know, miss a payment or two, $25 fine. I get shamed and harassed until I give her the keys.
But yeah, that's the problem. Then once she has control, girls tend to spend more. So it puts you at a disadvantage when separations happen. When you don't have financial separation like that, in a worst case scenario, it becomes very hard to argue that these are what I brought in, this is what she brought in. Like, you know what I mean? That whole, when you keep it separate, it's very easy for you to make a plan going, look, here's what we came in with. Here's what we're going out with. I can subsidize this for the kids to keep their quality of life going. It makes it very easy to keep her spending in check while you're together and to handle a more amicable separation of assets in the case of a divorce. And then you just make like a communal joint account for the bills and mortgages and whatever else you want to split.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just make a note of that, guys. Write that down. Take 2 seconds and write that down. Never share all your income.
No, I mean, there's no reason for it. That's the thing. It's not like she's not going to be treated well enough. She's living with you. Your lifestyles are going to be the same. So don't worry about that stuff. If you really have to, if you're having a hard time standing up to her, just say it's because you want to be able to get her surprise birthday gifts without her finding out. There's your weasel way of getting out of it, but just own it.
So I can buy you stuff.
Yeah. And what's she going to do? Yeah, she's going to get mad, but she's not going to leave.
And that's the thing that I've discovered is the greatest thing in dating now is like being like forward and truthful about that stuff. Like just saying, yeah, like I'm not going to ever share my account with you. I'm not going to tell you this. Like, I'm not doing that.
Are you crazy, woman?
It's not happening. If it really means that much to you, like there's other guys, you can go, you can next me and find what you're looking for somewhere else. Like, this is me. This is what I'm doing. And that's
dude. And girls hate it. They never get told no. So when you tell them no, it's like an aphrodisiac.
They hate love it. Yeah. Like it works better than like, oh, okay. Whatever you want to do. Yeah.
No, she can. And that's the thing. Like, I'm sure when it comes to you and dating, if you're like anything like me, and I'm hoping you are, you find the chase is more fun than the catch. I know a lot of guys love that. I love picking up girls, sleeping with girls. I can take it or leave it. One girl, 10 girls, doesn't matter. But that chase, that anxiety that comes with, do I have her yet? That stuff is fun. Girls have that too. So when they don't have you, it actually makes it more interesting. It's a term Athel K came up with. It's called Devi. And I always get the acronym wrong, so I'm not going to try. But it's building like desire, emotion, validation, and intensity. A lot of things like pushing, pull. I call it manufactured outrage. It's a nice little relationship strategy segue here. Yeah, well, that's the thing. Because girls, anybody who's lived with a girl for any length of time knows that at some point they're going to get
they're going to get
drama about something. And you can either sit there and wait for it to happen. Once a week, she gets mad at her mother-in-law, or all of a sudden now she cannot stand something that you guys do all the time. Or you could take control of it. And that's leadership, where you actually do something to piss her off every now and again. Like my girls, usually once a week, I have to manufacture a little fight over absolutely nothing. Bring up those emotions, get her a little angry about it, and then bring them back down. Have a good laugh because it doesn't matter. And you do that. And then you notice the frequency of you coming home to a shitstorm is way less because she's already gotten that out of her system.
It's a good strategy.
Yeah. Well, you probably do it naturally. That's the thing too. You don't even think about it because now you got an ex-wife that's less than amicable. So when a girl starts giving you grief, you're like, who the fuck do you think you are? And you kind of give that pushback right away. So they're getting that fix. Like,
who do you think you're talking to? What do you think I've been through?
Damn it. He's got a ukulele. I thought he was a pushover, but he's standing up to me. Oh, it's hot.
Sing you a song. I'd sing you a song while you're dumb.
I like that. Bling. Don't hit the ass on your door on the ass on the way out. Bling.
let's take another question here. Jason Black says, my girl complains that I don't talk to her enough and then I watch too much TV.
Yeah, right there.
The watching too much TV could be a problem. I think a lot of people are content with just consuming. I think, you know, you need to create something with your life, do something right, make a story, or, you know, sometimes just sitting around playing video games, watching TV, you're wasting your life a little bit. I can see that complaint, but not talking to her enough.
She just wants attention right now. Girls have the memory of a goldfish. When she says that you don't do something, I call it Ryan's rule. Always add right now at the end of it. When she feels something, right now. When it's something she won't do, add with you.
It could be that you're not asking her enough questions. She wants to talk about her day with you or talk about some kind of shit with you, and you're not asking about it. So that could be part of the problem.
Yeah, looking too, when I was talking about Devi right there, go look into that. It's I can't remember if it's Sex God Method or what, but it's Athel K's work. Once you got to understand that, you're going to see when she says this, which is kind of like a request for attention. It's all she wants, attention and to feel something. You take more of a leadership role, then you'll notice she'll stop asking for it a lot of these times when you're sitting there watching. I don't know what you watch on TV. CSI Miami? I don't know. Is that still on?
I don't think so.
But yeah, see, telling her to shut up, that's one way of doing it because it makes her feel something. But I think there's better techniques you can use than just saying, ah, shut up. And then she gets a little miffed and irritated, and it's like a little bit of a fix. Instead of giving her methadone, give her full-on heroin. Like, I'll tell you a good story. Here's a good one. I'm one of those guys like you. When I was in the military, it was just after I got off of work, I just played video games, drink, and then go out and have fun. So it's like you, busy schedule. So I went grocery shopping, and I saw some flowers there. I just bought some flowers because I'm like, whatever. It's probably the smartest thing I accidentally ever did. I left them in the trunk. I came in with the groceries, and I just started yelling at her, laying into her. I worked hard. I brought all these groceries in. You could even get up off your ass to come in there and get out there and do damn groceries. She was like in tears. So she went out there and all that was left with the flowers in the trunk, and she came back just bawling. But little things like that, just to have like that good manufactured indignation and like a payoff at the end with like good feelings, little things like that will make all the difference. And she probably won't complain nearly as much about your TV watching.
I think part of the complaining about, because I got complained about the video games and some stuff back in the day, I think it's because you're not doing anything. You're just sitting there. You're supposed to be providing or making money or whatever.
Yeah, well, she wouldn't complain if you were just doting on her. If you were giving her all the attention in the world, she wouldn't be complaining you're paying too much attention to her and not earning.
That's true. You're you're giving attention somewhere else, and it's not on her. That can I've known guys who quit training jiu-jitsu or going to the gym
because
their girlfriend didn't like them going every day for 2 hours because they weren't at home to do stuff with them. Like, I want to dinner with you.
How did their relationship go after they did that?
Oh, then they, like, 2 years later, the guy will be back in the gym, be like, oh yeah, we broke up, and then I didn't train for 2 whole years.
Worst thing you can do is give her what she wants too. That's like hands down. But that's the whole challenge thing. She doesn't actually want him to quit jiu-jitsu. She just wants to, she wants that constant fight for his attention. That's the fun part for her. That's that manufactured outrage, which I guess it's like saying shut up when you're watching TV, but just, you know, a little more sophisticated, I guess.
Yeah. So it's I've seen it over and over again with the fighting stuff. And like, I've been through it before with other relationships, but I never really stuck. I never really had the concept of what the relationships were really supposed to be or what they actually are. It was like what I thought they were supposed to be. So like I was wrestling in college, and I had a girlfriend who would just bust my balls all the time. Like, I'd go to practice and come back with like mat burn or whatever on my face or on my neck. And she's like, is that a hickey? Like, you're not even going to practice. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, my face is beat up. I'm exhausted.
Yeah. Like, some girl gave me a hickey, and then I got this compress on my ear because it just blew up because of a kiss.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. Girls talk. It's what they do. At least she thought that you were cheating. That's almost a good thing when they, well, iffy. When a girl accuses you of cheating, it either means they're cheating, so they assume you are too, or that they're worried about losing you. So it's a little nuanced there, but that's always kind of a neat thing. In your case, I don't know which one it was. Was she cheating on you with Chad from the football team? Or,
you know, I don't think so, but you never know. I think, you know, well, we because girls always have orbiters, you know, so there's always guys around. So you don't know what level of communication was going on between them and the orbiter. like they might not have been having sex, but they were probably building some kind of connection. Oh,
validation.
Yeah, because like we dated for like a year and then we broke up, and then a week later she had a new boyfriend.
Oh yeah, can't be alone. Yeah, girls always have a boyfriend until they don't.
Somebody was, yeah, somebody was waiting to, you know, swing to a new branch.
Now imagine if you had stopped wrestling because she wanted to. Where would you have been there? A year later, yeah. You're working at Best Buy as a manager instead of, you know, a UFC career.
Yep. That's where I'm really glad that I was like 90% red pilled most of my life, I think. Mm-hmm. But like that last 10% was the relationship part. And it took this divorce to really open my eyes. Like there's a lot of stuff in those journals where like I kind of knew, I understood. Like I understood what was going on, but at the same time, no one had put it into a easily digestible format before.
Oh yeah. Rollo's really good for that. I'm assuming we're talking about Rational Mail at this point.
Yeah. And I mean, I just finally read the book, but I've been listening to podcasts and reading other people's stuff for a while now. The Neil Strauss's The Game was an eye opener too.
Classic.
Because as a martial artist, everything's about technique. Mm-hmm. Like what's the best technique to do this? Like there's a problem. What technique can I use to get around this problem? Well, that's all that pickup is. They're techniques based on biological cues and behaviors that just work.
Well, that's the beauty of it. That's what I loved, the mystery method. Neil Strauss and mystery, those are the guys I learned it from. It was really simple, too. It was just three phases, and then each phase had three parts to it. So even if you had no idea what you were doing, you at least had like a framework. So you're like, okay, so now I'm going to work on my opener. Then I'm going to work on building rapport and then be seductive. And then the last part is, you know, sleeping with a girl without screwing it up by saying something dumb.
Yes.
And a lot of the stuff was, it worked, but it didn't work because it was useful. It just worked because the guy had the confidence to try it anyway. Like I'm sure you've been on a date with a girl where you've done something completely stupid, but because you were charming when you did it, it worked out for you. Mm-hmm. A lot of that stuff was like that. Like the opinion opener. I don't know if you remember this, was the old one. Like the classic line was, hey, I got to go back to my friends here in a minute, but I need to help you guys, or you guys got to help me sort out this argument. Does it count as cheating if you're in a different area code? He says it doesn't. I says it does. Then right now, all you're doing is you're establishing something sexual, that you're not going to hound them for time, and that you're fun and lighthearted. But you could use anything there. It doesn't even matter. In fact, that line's kind of cringy now that you look back on it.
No, like that's something I've discovered. Like, man, I'm very inexperienced in pickup because like I don't have time to go out and be out at the bars at my age, you know, with kids and everything. Yeah. So I use the dating apps. But the times that I have gone out and tried some of this stuff, like just walking up and starting a conversation in the middle of it. Seems to like usually work pretty well because girls, especially here in the Bay Area, they're not used to guys approaching at all. So you could walk up next to a girl at the bar, not even make eye contact, and then just comment on somebody's shirt. It's like, I can't believe that guy fucking wore that shirt in here. And then you're automatically in the middle of a conversation.
Yeah, it's awesome. Cause that's the thing people forget. They keep thinking it's like this manipulation thing. Like you can't. If a girl doesn't want to sleep with you, they're very good at not sleeping with you. I don't know if anybody told guys.
They've been in the control of that for millions of years.
Yeah.
I don't see that control going away anytime soon.
And they forget how bored girls are. Like, do you know why they're fingering their phone? It's because they're bored. That's why they're on it. And so when you walk up just to offer even like an asinine conversation about making fun of a guy's shirt, like that's something they don't already have. Something interesting in front of me. Thank God. It's almost like you're doing them a favor. Well, I mean, you are doing them a favor, but a lot of guys keep thinking that they're going to win her. It's like, no, she's winning you. Like you're the most interesting thing in her life. The fact you can bring up a pink shirt and she'll stop everything to stare at you. That should tell you right there what you're dealing with.
But again, you get the blue pill conditioning is, oh no, that's creepy. You shouldn't walk up and approach strange women.
Yeah. You'll hurt their feelings. What they're made of porcelain and they'll break if you talk to them.
Creep are you?
Girls don't like sex. They like friendship, and sex is just, and that's the worst part is all these ideas guys have. Like if you just pay attention to the world, not a single one of them makes any sense. Not even doing them, just talking about them. Like, what do you mean girls don't like sex? Then why are all those girls thoughting around? And they have to like, oh, that's because pickup artists are stealing them all. I'm like, there's not many pickup artists, man. Not really.
Well, I mean, it's
it's niche as hell.
They think they're going to be able to make money off of it, but then likes and attention is currency.
Yeah. That's just orbiting validation. Mm-hmm. Those orbiters that you were talking about before is just the internet expanded it. So instead of three guys from work that I want to get with her, but never will, now it's 10,000 guys on Instagram.
10,000 guys or a million guys. You show a little boob, you get a long way.
But yeah, still all of that. You put a man in front of her that's fun, charming, and fit. All that goes away.
Mm-hmm.
You can't like a dick. I'm just saying. At least I hope not. I just realized how bad that sounds on like some clip show.
we got a joke here. Simplistic irony says women are never happy. Even when they receive pleasure, they still moan.
I like that.
We got a lot of comedians in the live stream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. These guys are hilarious, by the way. Just every now and then when I glance over and see what they're on about.
let's share some of your stuff here. Let's you have your website, ryanstone.com. Oh wait.
Well, here, I'll do it. It's pretty easy. Ryanstone.com is the website.
Well, I can share the screen.
Even better.
Yeah. We fix men. Your relationship is your wife to fix. It's for your wife to fix. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I like that approach. That it's all about improving yourself, improving the man.
Yeah. Well, like, if you're not the prize, she's not going to fight to keep you.
Exactly. I tell these guys, you got to be the magnet. Like you're not looking for a needle in the haystack. You're the magnet, and all the needles are coming for you.
Mm-hmm. And worst case scenario, if your girl leaves, well, then the next girl would be more than happy to take her place. So at least you won't be alone.
Yeah. You're not going to be alone. You're not going to get, you're not going to die alone and sad.
Yeah. And in 10 years, you're going to look way better. Every girl out there, you're going to look better than in 10 years.
And Ryan Stone @Ryan_Stone is your Twitter.
This garbage fire. Dude, I don't know. Do you like Twitter? I don't like, I have a love hate relationship with Twitter.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's a tool and you can use it for, good, or you can use it just to be sad and angry all the time.
It's just such a, it's an attention grab. You have to be kind of outlandish and throwing red meat at the dogs.
Yeah. You kind of have to trigger people. Like in order to get the best responses or the best follows, you have to trigger people.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm still, learning, how to use Twitter. Cause I've been getting a lot of, stuff.
Which is crazy, by the way, because your account is huge.
Yeah, it's because I got on early as your YouTube, Ryan Stone on YouTube also. It's because I think I started using it early on and tweeting a lot before a lot of other people were.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like too many retweets. I have too many retweets. I need to come up with more of my original content.
Bitch about the new Star Wars. I think that's what's in right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing is like, I can't just retweet it. You got to retweet it with a comment. And then I've started working with some social media marketing people, and they're trying to get me to back off my Twitter a little bit.
Oh, really? Like tweet less to make more impact
just because of some of the stuff I tweet out is political.
Oh.
That alienates 50% of your market sometimes.
What you need to do is be Canadian. It's easy. Cause then if you comment on political stuff, it's just an outsider perspective. Doesn't ruffle too many feathers.
I don't know, eh?
Yeah. Damn right, Zay. Plus, it's always fun because then even if Americans agree or disagree with you, they make fun of me for Trudeau and we have a good laugh over it.
All right, let me see another question here. Blue Diesel says, is there a balance on hobbies, passion, and maintaining a good relationship? Got back into jiu-jitsu and kickboxing post-divorce, 1.5 years. Current girlfriend loves watching me. So that is a good question, maintaining that balance. I don't know if there is a such thing as a balance.
I don't like the idea of there being a balance. It's kind of in flux.
Yeah, everything's kind of in flux because you're never going to balance everything for any long period of time. You're going to put your attentions where they need to be when you need to be there. Like if you're running, having problems with work and monetary issues, then you need to put more of a focus on that. I think the balance with the hobbies and stuff, I mean, that's important too. I think, man,
well,
it might not go over well, but like the girlfriend issue is probably the least of your concerns.
Well, that's the thing. As a girlfriend, it's on her to keep you around. So when I say the relationship is a woman's job, it's what I mean.
Yeah.
Like you said yourself, 70% of divorces initiated by women, and they absolutely go through. Nobody's stopping them. So the relationship, for the most part, the girl decides whether it happens or not. So if that's her responsibility, then you focusing on the relationship is you doing her job, which is a huge unattractive behavior. It'd be the same as if your ex-wife got into the ring. It's like, here, let me show you how to throw a turning kick. Like, get out of here. You just look ridiculous. Get out. So you do your things. And obviously, you come home every night. But I mean, guys have deployed where they spend 6 months away from home and they come back to a wife, mostly. So you can be apart. But if you are her best option, then she'll make the effort to keep the relationship going. And if she asks for help, like as a comfort test, like if you are gone 6 months out of the year and she's like, I just want to spend some time with you, lay off the TV. Obviously, you live some comfort there, but the comfort should be something you give out sparingly. You're not defaulting as the comfortable, nice, safe guy. You're the best option. You're kind of the asshole, but occasionally you have that nice, charming side to you, which makes her remember why she's still with you.
Mm-hmm.
But on this other thing, like honestly, if an extra 2 hours a week is all it takes to ruin the relationship, then like, do you really want to fight to keep that together? Sounds like it's on a very thin razor or like a business thing. If your margins are like 0.5%, then an economy crashes it, then maybe your business was meant to die.
Yeah. If you're sacrificing who you are as a person, if you're sacrificing your frame, like you're no longer this guy who works out, does jujitsu, you know, handles business, makes money. You're this guy that bends over backwards to make this woman happy.
Yeah. And it's not going to stop there. Do you think after jujitsu, she's happy? No, she'll ask, no, I don't like when you hang with your friends. And before you know it, you're sitting in your house, you know, by yourself, staring at her and having her stare back how boring you are.
And then she's left you for Chad because you're boring.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't go out and do anything anymore. Where you don't have any friends. Like you don't ever work out or take care of yourself. You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's all the stuff you wanted me to stop.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, and girls complain like people need air. You just got to accept that complaints are part of the process. Let her complain. If she starts complaining, you don't spend enough time with her, give her a big hug, a kiss on the forehead. You know, everything will be fine. You're home every night. So who cares where you're at between 6 and 7:30 on Tuesday nights? Like really, as long as you're not with her best friend or her mom, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And if you are, then I don't know, maybe you should kind of let her go. Ooh. Another thing too, so you got your simplistic irony guy where he's talking about how feminism ruined it. I never liked that argument because that reminds me of that video games cause school shootings.
Said, simplistic irony says Western women have been ruined by feminism and been enabled by government. Blaming just feminism, I don't think. I mean, feminism is a small group of people and they're very loud.
Mm-hmm.
Like most women don't really identify as feminists. And like, nope. A lot of girls that I run into out here, even in the Bay Area, Silicon Valley, they're not feminists. They're anti-feminist. They make jokes about the feminists.
Yeah. Now, granted, feminists complained as a voting bloc. They got some leeway with the government, but that's NRA does that. Every lobbying group does that. So it's just part of the game. But you're right. Do you think a girl is honestly going to look at a fat, blue-haired chick complaining online and be like, yeah, she makes good sense. I'm going to do what she wants me to do. No. They're going to listen to Jenna Marbles on YouTube because she's the cuter one. That's who they're going to follow. So if anything, girls will be buying Greyhounds en masse right now if they listen to what the people on TV told them.
Yeah, so I don't think it's you know, to point the finger at feminism too much. I mean, feminism is annoying, but I don't think they're that powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Enabled by the government, I think there's a little bit of truth in there because there's a lot of propping up of women. You know, for good reasons, you know, women needed it, or I think they might have needed it before, but like it doesn't seem like they came up with good solutions to the problems.
Well, that's the thing too. Like, let's take suffrage, for example. A lot of women talk about how feminism gave them the vote. But if you look at the timeline, essentially within a 20-year period, non-landowning men got the vote because they had to go to war. Slaves got the vote because of emancipation. And then right in the middle, women got the vote. So it's not that feminism did anything. It was already moving in that direction. Feminism just got a loud bullhorn and took credit for it, which it's almost kind of like the nagging wife on a societal scale. You were going to get those flowers anyway, but it's because she bitched at you for 3 months. That's why you got them. You're like, come on, lady.
But yeah, and then I can't even believe this was actually a conversation, but people were saying that maybe we should repeal the women's right to vote.
Oh,
and I couldn't even believe that's even like, that's so far from any reality that's possible. Like,
it's illusion. And that's the problem, is that it'll never happen. Even let's say, for argument's sake, it's the best thing in the world and it'll fix all of our problems, which it won't, but let's say it does. How are you going to convince 50% of the population to give up their right to vote, as well as that, I don't know how many, let's say 20% of men are white, so cucked that white, they would do anything a woman wants, including fight to keep her vote. So you got like 70% of the people saying no, it's never going to happen. Talking about it is just impotence.
Yeah, I agree. There's certain things that are just not worth talking about. Like, like people going off on rants about what women need to do. This is how women need to live right now.
Yeah, so, why?
Like,
why is she going to do it?
I think, yeah, the focus needs to be put on the individual. Like, you as a man, as an individual, need to lift yourself up to a certain level that only certain types of women can have access to you and your attention.
Yeah.
That seems like the most easiest actionable thing you can possibly do.
I got a perfect story for this one too. My first date with my now wife. So I know you've seen, everybody on Twitter has their like seven things a good woman should do. And they always put a girl should cook for her man. And then chicks freak the fuck out. I'm sure you've seen that. It happens like 18 times in a row. Every man account does that at one point.
Yep.
My first date with my girl, I remember at some point the date, I've said, like, I learned how to cook because I've never seen a girl so much as make a sandwich properly. So she took that as a challenge. And she's like, she made me chili rellenos. So we went to like the grocery store in the middle of a date, stopped drinking and everything. So that was the one I ended up keeping. But here's the thing. You can't tell a million girls to cook for their man because they'll tell you to saw it off. But you can tell one girl to cook for you, and she will, as long as she thinks you're hot enough and wants to be with you. So you're 100% right. I've seen it firsthand.
Yep.
You can't red pill girls as a group. You have to do it one-on-one, which makes sense. I mean, that one girl is the only that really matters to you. Well, in your case, maybe two or three, but that small group of girls are the only ones that you need to act right in the world. So why would you focus on the other ones?
Yeah. No, and now that, and I'm getting into this place now where I'm like, should you only have one girl?
No. And that's, well, monogamy, you could, but that's the problem, is if you only have one girl, especially for you as a dating guy, you start to get scarcity. Like, you start to worry about it. If she doesn't call, then you start to get concerned because that's your only girl. I'm not saying you have to sleep with 20 girls, but at least if you have 20 girls you could sleep with, if one of them does something stupid, you're not going to be worried about losing her.
I mean, I'm even getting to the point where what if we pull a Islam move and,
No, we're already doing a soft harem, though.
And, well, I'm saying do a full-on hard one and let them know, like, hey, look, I have girlfriends. We can date, but I have girlfriends.
We have guys in the Red Pill that have done that. They have multiple girls in their house at home. Like, one of the best writers, Whisper, that's what he does. He has two chicks he lives with. And he said that's all he did, is he filtered for the kind of girls that were open for that. If they didn't like the fact that he was dating other people, and there's dozens of other guys dating other people, and like, they don't rub the girl's nose in it, but she opts in. So if she doesn't want there, she's perfectly able to go. And then you'll find that most girls would rather share a high value guy than be saddled with the one guy who's ultimately faithful to her.
Yeah.
Although you're dating right now, you probably see in that firsthand.
I mean, yeah, I've had, you know, if I had the talk a couple times, you know, what are we? It's like, we're dating.
We are Groot.
we are Groot. Yeah. But no, so like, yeah, I think there's a lot of, and that was a thing that I never would have done before, previous to marriage, was
date
two girls at the same time. Yeah. That's totally so wrong. Mm-hmm. What a dick.
But then you always ask a guy, so what's wrong about it? And then it's always some vague notion of disrespecting her, as if she has no choice in the matter of whether to date you or not.
Yeah.
Well, that like, isn't that the libertarian thing? Everybody does what they want. Free association.
Yeah.
Places like the most libertarian
it
also, thing.
It takes away the female's agency and makes her stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now she's dumb. That's why she's dating me and I'm dating other people.
Yeah.
Or the same argument comes in for dating younger girls. Right. Oh, you're a pedophile because she's 22. Like, no.
It's like, whoa.
Oh, wait a minute. So, like, this 22-year-old female who has a job and graduated from college is too stupid to make her own decisions about who she's dating and has sex with.
Yeah, and you notice it's always the like 41-year-old girls that are complaining about that because they're taking her age demographic.
It's the older women, and it's the beta men.
Yeah, like who bitched when Brock Lesnar went to WWF? It was guys that worked in the UFC. Hey, they took our fighter. It wasn't that he shouldn't be there. Or was it the other way around? I can never remember. Did Brock start at UFC or did he start at WWE? Okay. Yeah, when he went over, the only people bitching about it were pro wrestlers. Yeah. Same thing here. The only girls that complain about guys getting younger men are older girls. My wife even did that. That was the weirdest thing from her. It's like, we've been together for a decade now. We first got together when she was like 19 and 23 is when we got together, but... Our Jagmeet Singh, he's our NDP leader, one of our political guys. His wife's like 12 years younger than him. And she's sitting there giving the, oh, he's too old for her speech. I'm like, wait a minute. They're only 1 year different than us for our gap. She goes, yeah, but this is different. I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
It's like, it's the sisterhood, man. The unspoken bond of the sisterhood.
Yeah. Meanwhile, she's doing the exact same thing. She's just further invested in it. I'm like, relax. They'll be fine.
Yeah, because I'm with that too now. It's like with the younger chicks is like I've been attracted to the same age group of women my entire life.
Dude, and there's stats to back that. Okay, Cupid did ran the numbers on it.
Yeah, so like I don't see why that would change in another 10 years.
And if they wanted you to change, let's say this hypothetical Karen, that 41-year-old Karen that would rather date you than the 22-year-old, nagging you is not the best way to like have you get into that. Maybe she starts cooking better. Maybe she's more pleasant. Maybe she's more fun to be around. Like there's all kinds of ways you could show that you're better off dating a woman your age, and nagging is the worst way to do it. So I don't know why they think so, other than it just hurts their feelings and they want to emote.
Yeah. Biology is mean.
Yeah. Plus a girl in 40, if a girl wants to get in a relationship and she can't do it before the age of 40, then there's probably something wrong with her girl game.
Yeah, very true. Well, I think part of it is, you know, girls get blue-pilled also. They get cast into this fantasy. Mm-hmm. Oh, if I get enough degrees and I start enough businesses, or if I'm a CEO of a company, then a man will find me desirable and I'll be good.
Yeah, that alcoholism and tired eyes that come with it, so hot.
Oh, man, yeah. Like, and I've gone out with girls and they've gone on about themselves and their job and what they can do and all this shit that I don't care about.
Yeah, I see your eyes glazing over now just thinking about it.
I'm just like, oh, that's the absolute worst. That's the absolute like least thing I'm attracted in is your job or the work you did to get your job. I really don't care.
Yeah. Just be pleasant.
Be fun. That's be fun. Be cute. And pleasant. Be feminine.
Dude, that's the thing. Most guys would even sacrifice cute. Guys would... I'm gonna do numbers here, like an 8 out of 10 girl that's an absolute horrible person, yeah, you'll sleep with her once, but a 6 out of 10 that's the most fun girl to be around, guys will take that in a heartbeat to keep around for longer than an evening. Girls don't even have to be amazingly hot, just cute enough will get over that threshold. Mm-hmm. We actually have a thing about this, it's called wife goggles. It's because I'm sure you've heard guys are aspirational lovers, but what we do is when we get into a relationship, we lock her in time, like a snapshot.
Mm.
So if you date that girl and she was 20 when you got together, you could be 60 years old now. But in your head, you still picture that 20-year-old you first got with. It's something, I'm not sure how the science behind it works, but it's a guy's way of being better at monogamy. So that way, you know, cave babies would be made, cave guy would stick around, cave tigers would be fought off, more cave babies made. The whole thing there. But that's the thing. We're kind of wired toward it. And if a girl doesn't cheat on you, if a girl doesn't treat you too badly, she'll never slap those things off your face. And once she does, like, I'm sure you'd let Telmino, when you first got together with your ex-wife there, mm-hmm. she was probably like the hottest, the best thing at the time. And you her that way for a long time until finally she treated you wrong.
She got better. I met her when she was 18 and then she blossomed into even more beautiful woman. And then I bought her some amazing tits.
Oh, even better. That's the thing. Like, she was always that perfect 18-year-old to you. And mm-hmm. it took, I don't know how far into the separation divorce process it got until she finally slapped those off. But I guarantee you at some point you looked over and you're like, what the hell happened to her? Like, how did she get so ugly in like 2 months? But it's because you were looking at her with your heart, not with your eyes.
Yeah. Well, she's a hot chick. She's just hot.
Compared to the girls you date now, though?
She's definitely older.
That's a very diplomatic answer. I love that.
She's definitely older. But she's on the downslope now, because now she's 34, so she's about done. Mm-hmm. But she's Asian, so it's not fair. It's different. It's a different metric.
She looks 14 until she's 46. I remember that one.
Yeah. No, like I've met aunts and other friends of her family, mother, whatever, that were, you know, in their 50s or 60s, and they look 20 something.
Nice. But that's the thing too. Like, so she's going to be 40. She may not catch another man, because let's face it, having a UFC fighter as your ex-husband.
She replaced me.
Oh, like, so they're full on married and she's moved on?
No, not married, but like they, we were out of the house like 3 months in the same house, and the dude was already at their Thanksgiving dinner with their family.
Oh, yeah.
So something was going on for a while, I think.
Yeah, and she just hates being alone. But that's the thing. Yeah,
she's never been alone for more than a few months since she was a teenager.
Yeah, so it's not whether 16. She actually likes that guy or not. She doesn't even know him. It's just, it's better than having nobody around.
Well, he was a safety net from childhood friend.
Oh, the backup. That poor guy, imagine that. Like, yeah, I'm with this girl now. She used to date a guy who beat people up for a living. Meanwhile, I got my job at Best Buy. Yeah.
Built-in family, whatever. Mm. But yeah, I think, yeah, he was the safe beta provider.
She'll get bored. They always get bored.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you can't walk back from John to like the safe second choice. It's just going to get boring. So many girls do that. In fact, there's been a few guys that I've heard report on their field reports that their ex-wife eventually came back as a plate. Because, yeah, she's got her safe second option and he's great. The house is good and he's taking care of the kids. But you were better in bed. Mm-hmm. And the guys kind of get weirded out because they're like, why didn't she just stick around? And until they understand, like, well, whatever. The next ones are younger anyway, so I'll put her in the rotation. Well, keeps her on better footing as like the secondary parental guardian, as long as they're in good terms like that. So, but dude, send me a DM if she ends up joining the rotation. I'll have a good laugh with you.
I have a thing. Like I get grossed out. Like if I'm with a girl and then she goes with somebody else, like it's gross.
Yeah,
I can't.
No,
I've never been able to circle back.
Which, like, is probably smart, though.
You get your shot. You get your shot, and then if you know you need to go somewhere else, you're gone. You know, we can be nice about it, but like, I'm not.
Dude, that's going to be an awkward conversation. Then if she tries to get back in your good graces,
we don't really talk. We text.
It's good enough, I guess. That's what the lawyers suggest.
It's all well. I don't want to have any conversations that I can't screenshot.
Oh, dude, you got some good legal advice. Who told you to document everything? Whoever he did, whatever his retainer is, it's worth it.
No, I didn't. Yeah, I did it on my own. I listened to a lot of podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? You can't fake receipts. So from this, it's way better than doing a conversation. Plus, you take the emotions out of it, especially for texts. A lot of guys find they text so slow that they can't argue on texts. So they have to make it about the logistics because it takes too long.
Oh yeah. I don't, unless it's like an emergency, I don't do the quick text back. Like it was written in, she made a thing in our agreement, whatever, that I had to return her text within a 24-hour period.
Wow. That's very specific.
Because I was like, not returning text. I was like, well, this isn't a priority. I don't need to answer you.
I'd laugh, then you just start sending them 23 hours later with just like a K and a winky face.
It's kind of what I do. I'll wait 16 to 23 hours. before.
Dude, that's awesome. Malicious compliance.
Okay. I'm only going to be as compliant as I'm legally required to be.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Your kids are going to grow up to be fine, healthy, young adults. You're going to be a great example as a dad for them. Sure, you're only going to tuck them in half the time, but kids mm-hmm. don't remember that. It's like the deployment. My mom's divorced twice. I don't remember any of the bad stuff. I just remember the good times.
Yeah. So that's what I try to focus on is just spending a lot of time with them. Like most of the presents for Christmas were, you know, I got a football for one, baseball bat and some wiffle balls for the other, a lot of board games, like stuff we're going to play together. Like not a Nintendo Switch or whatever the hell.
Here, kid, ignore me for 5 hours. Here's your Pokemon.
Yeah, here's your Pokemon. Like they get TV time every once in a while when I'm doing a podcast or something. So like they don't need it. Like we only have a classic Nintendo. That's the only video game thing we have.
Oh, that's awesome.
Is the little mini classic Nintendo with other games on it. So they play Kirby all the time.
What do you play?
I used to play Street Fighter with them, but now the little one's so good. Like they're like kicking my ass at Street Fighter. I'm like, what the hell?
This dude, I miss right. that. My Blanka was unbeatable. I was like undefeated at my military barracks when I got into basic training with Blanka for like 2 years. It was awesome. A guy trained for 6 months just to beat me by running down the clock. I've never been more flattered in my life.
That's funny.
It's the closest I ever got to like the Couture Lesnar fight. That's funny. But yeah, oh, that stuff is awesome. That's good too. I think I've kind of like video games. I do not like seeing how modern video games are because they remind me more of gambling than they do of games.
Mm.
Have you noticed that where it's always like loot boxes?
A lot more shiny, flashy, whatever.
Yeah. And you can't pick it up and put it down. Like when you played Street Fighter, it's 3 minutes and you're done. You can put it down if you have to go get some chores done.
I played a lot of those live action role playing games. Skyrim was the last one I really played a lot, but yeah, they draw you in and then you have to be careful because it's an addiction that'll take you away from your goals and what you're trying to do because you still get those chemical releases in your brain when you complete a mission or you do something.
Oh yeah. Those dopamine hits.
Well, you should be getting those dopamine hits from like actually completing something or doing something with your job or starting a business or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I agree. That's why I never liked those. I always liked this is pretty embarrassing, but when I was deployed in that, my little thing to unwind was SimCity. I love that because I could pick it up and put it down. There was no dopamine hits. It was just literally if you're fried after work, it's something to sit there and stare at. That's not, you know, watching a football game, which I can never get into. Sad to say, UFC was the only sport I could actually watch. Now it's baseball, but it's only because I live next to the stadium.
So I used to watch basketball in high school and I stopped doing that. And I was just football and wrestling and whatever. And then UFC here and there. But then like when I started fighting, like all other sports became like redundant and they just seemed like the same game over and over and over again.
Yeah, I can imagine. Do you still watch the UFC now? Or?
Now UFC, I don't watch as much because it's so much pro wrestling now. So like I tune out all of the other stuff.
You should watch the old stuff. Like I still watch WrestleMania 7.
Yeah, well, I watch the actual fights, right? So I won't watch the other crap around it. You know, the intros, the
padding.
Stories, the stuff they're selling, whatever. I don't like that because it's all just pro wrestling to me. So like I've been watching the fights recently and because I have a thing, I can watch them.
I was going to say, did they blacklist you from pay-per-view?
I don't have to do all the paywalls and whatever bullshit. So
I was just like, how petty would that be if they're like, he's not allowed to watch it, ban him from all payment processors on UFC events.
Erase me from their history.
Yeah. Block him from the building.
All right. Well, we've got a little over an hour in here. I've got to get going so that I can get my kids coming over in a little bit.
Nice. I'm pickling some eggs.
Awesome. So thank you for coming. Do you have any shout outs you want to do real quick?
Dude, honestly, nah, everybody knows me. They know where to find like me, Rich, John, the guys, Rule Zero, a little podcast where we literally talk about this relationship dynamic stuff all the time. So that's Saturdays. If you're on my channel or on the Twitter, you'll find that out. But I'm just happy to be here, just to talk with you, to see you like an extraordinary regular guy, just navigating the marketplace in the way he sees fit. It's refreshing to see you as opposed to like some of the weirdness that happens in our little neck of the woods. You know what I mean?
There's not enough. I don't know, man. There's just not enough of it out there. A lot of people will just have no idea. Like even, you know, I have to navigate carefully with my good friends and stuff too, but like, you know, they're still making mistakes and you can't just shake somebody and yell at them to like get them to wake up. So hopefully eventually they'll come around and listen to some of the stuff and
At the very least, you'll be the perfect example for them to follow when something goes wrong. Like,
say, so, yep, I've already.
Wife wants to leave. What did John do? Let's do what he does, and he'll fix him on the back end.
Yeah, that's because I've got friends who are entering another marriage or
a second third one.
Marriage, like going just following the same exact patterns over again. It's just you got to shake your head, and yeah, there's nothing you can really do.
Jeez, poor bastards. But anyway, it's fun. Also, loving the ukulele. I don't know why, but out of all, like everybody has their own little hobbies and things they do, their little like eccentricities. Yours, I like the most. It's like a Steve Martin thing. And you should totally take that onto a stage one day and do like someday, an open mic night.
Someday, yeah. Someday, I'd say. Well, the idea, what would be cool would be to do a live, and it's kind of what I'm doing with my friend Chris Tinkle, because we have Fitch and Tinkle Smash Everything. It's another podcast I do. So he's a comedian and we want to do like live shows. We did one as like a run dress rehearsal type of thing. But basically we have a crew of people at the table. We got a screen to share stuff, make jokes, and then maybe do some performances, whatever. That'd be cool down the road. That'd be fun.
Oh, I would watch the shit out of that. That'd be hilarious.
Awesome. So Jason Burmes stopping by. I don't know if you watch Jason Burmes' channel at all.
No, I've heard about it. He's on the list, but I haven't caught one yet.
Great show.
I'm apologizing for that.
With the interview format, man, most polished to date. Awesome. So yeah, I think I might be getting into the more of the interviews with these because I've been talking to people and it's too much content every day. If having one, people get behind too fast. Mm-hmm. So I think more sniper like podcast might be a better path. Might be a better path. We'll see.
Hey, here's hoping anyway. Well, wishing you all the success. At the very least, this one was fun.
Awesome. Yeah, I had fun. I'm reading some of the comments. Guys seem to enjoy it. For me personally, I have my self-defense seminars coming up January 18th. You can go to johnfish.net, sign up for the newsletter, get more info on the shit I'm doing. I want to thank Ryan for coming by the show. We'll have to have you back sometime. And then, we're going to have more guests to come.
Should be fun. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks for coming on, Ryan.
You're way cooler than GSP. Ouch.
Nice.
He's a Canadian treasure, damn it.
All right. We'll see you later. All right. So Ryan is off. And then I'm going to play you guys out. All right. Let's play some country. Because there was a shooting in Texas the other day, right? A good man with a gun killed a bad man with a gun. All righty. There's only two things in this life that make it worth living. It's ukes tune good and firm feeling women. I don't need my name in the marquee lights. It's nice though. I got my song and I got you with me tonight. Maybe it's time we got back to the basics of love. Let's go to Lukenbach, Texas, Wayland and Willie and the boys. The successful life we're living's got us feuding like the Hatfields and McCoys. Between Hank Williams' pain songs, Newberry's train songs, and blue eyes crying in the rain. Out in Lukenbach, Texas, ain't nobody feeling no pain. So baby, let's sell all your diamond rings, buy some boots and faded jeans, and go away. coat and ties choking me in your high society. You cry all day. We've been so busy keeping up with the Joneses, four-car garage, and we're still building on. Maybe it's time we got back to the basics of love. Let's go to Luckenbach, Texas, Wayland and Willie and the boys. The successful life we're living's got us feuding like the Hatfields and McCoys. Between Hank Williams' pain songs, Newberry's train songs, and Blue Eyes crying in the rain, out in Luckenbach, Texas, ain't nobody feeling the whole pain. Yeehaw. Have a great one, everybody. Laters.